Hello, everyone, and welcome to the PR Week, PR Week's weekly podcast about everything going on in the worlds of communications, PR, and marketing. My name is Frank Washcook. I'm news editor at PR Week, and I'm filling in for our editor-in-chief, Steve Barrett, who is in Cannes this week. I'm here joined by Lindsay Stein, our senior reporter covering consumer marketing. Lindsay, how are you today?
I'm great.
And I'm also joined by Diana Bradley, our reporter covering corporate affairs. How are you, Diana?
Great, thank you.
Well, let's get right into it. This week we'll be talking about Mark Penn, his new role. Of course, he's the former head of the 2008 Clinton campaign and an executive at Microsoft. We'll be talking about the latest goings-on with FIFA and their in-house communication structure. We'll be talking about a big agency move involving Sprint. And we'll be talking about a few political campaigns kicking off. Some big names, some dynastic names, as some people would say, with the Clinton campaign and the Bush campaign both kicking off. But first, let's talk a little bit about Mark Penn. He, of course, is the former chief executive of Burson Marsteller until 2012, was also the architect of the 2008 Hillary Clinton campaign. Diana, bring us up to speed on the latest with Mark Penn.
Sure. Mark Penn has been at Microsoft for about 3 years now, most recently as their chief insights officer, and he will be stepping down in September to head up his new firm, the Stagwell Group, which is an investment advisory firm.
It's a very upper crust sounding name, the Stagwell
Group. Yes, it is, yeah.
Sounds like some place that, you know, Thurston Howell III might work at.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the
I
guy from
Gilligan's
Island,
actually.
Went over everybody's head.
I should have asked him about the meaning behind the name, but he will not be replaced at Microsoft, and his exit will have no effect on Microsoft's communications team. Mm-hmm. His new firm is based in Washington, D.C., and he told us that he would be looking for investments that are digital-first, meet high standards of creativity, and believe in being evidence-based and data-oriented.
Mm-hmm. So he's sticking with data. Data was always his big thing well before data was in vogue, so it's interesting to see he is sticking with that even as the strategy gets a little bit more popular.
Yeah, and his targets will include PR firms that have significant digital components and have shown growth within the industry. Mm-hmm. He's also hired SKD Knickerbocker to handle Stagwell's PR. So SKD Knickerbocker employs former White House Communications Director Anita Dunn and former recording industry lobbyist Hillary Rosen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're definitely a big and well-known shop in Washington, D.C., very big public affairs
team. I was kind of funny when, like, a company says, oh, like, nothing will be affected when this guy leaves, you know, at Microsoft, because clearly somebody's being affected. Like, somebody else has to take on his responsibilities in the comms department, right? Unless he wasn't doing anything there.
It's true. It's you just like wonder if they were so important, then how are they going to now
like
be
somebody
handling?
Somebody else has to do his work. Right?
Yeah.
So,
which is
an interesting
a good
thing.
Point.
Whenever they're like, oh, nothing's being affected, it's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you say what exactly Stagwell Group is going to become? That's what I'm interested in.
He said that in terms of future plans, he has yet to see what it's going to become. He said right now they're classified as a private equity firm, looking for mid-sized firms who have established themselves and are looking to get to the next level of growth. Mm-hmm. He said one thing that they're doing is trying to find companies that are in different disciplines. This way they won't end up with a group of investments all competing against each other, but that are more complementary in nature. But he said that, you know, in terms of specifics and if it will become a holding company or, you know, a VC firm or something like that, he wasn't able to answer.
So one to keep an eye on going forward.
Yeah, and then I asked him, you know, given his political background, if it could eventually be associated with presidential or national campaigns of some sort. And he said, no, we are investors, not actors.
And maybe he has just been there and done that with that
maybe.
Sort of thing.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Diana. Let's talk about a major account move in the world of telecommunications. Lindsay, tell us a little bit about Sprint's new communications and creative services, AOR.
Yeah, so Sprint brought on Golin to serve as their AOR in the U.S. following a competitive review. Prior to bringing on Golin for strategic communications and creative services, the firm didn't really have an AOR. They did projects with Stanton Communications, so seems like they're making a pretty significant investment in PR now, especially since Doug Michelman took the helm not long ago. He was at Finsbury immediately prior, but probably more well-known for his work at Visa for about 9 years. Yeah, I mean, it's a really great win for Golin, very competitive industry, and Golin's won a ton of work so far this year. I've written stories like Crayola, Barbie, Hot Wheels, Humana, mm-hmm. yeah, et cetera. Actually, no, another one they won. So
we'll I thought it was interesting how the duties are laid out with this account. It's Creative Services AOR, which is a little bit different sounding than mm-hmm. the usual communications or corporate comms, and also strategic comms. So it sounds like they'll be doing something a little bit different than they might have been doing a couple of years ago. So
yeah, no, it's true. And they did work with them back in the day. When was that?
2001.
2001. Yes, yeah, so they worked with them back in the day as well. But that was mostly just on like reputation and corporate and government. So really expanded the work there.
Mm-hmm. We'll be keeping an eye on that to see what sort of work they produce as well. All right, good stuff. Thank you for that, Lindsay. Diana, bring us up to speed on the latest with the in-house team at FIFA, which, of course, has had the month or two from hell. But tell us what happened to their in-house head of public affairs and corporate communications.
So I actually feel really bad for this guy,
to
be honest with you.
You might be the only person who feels bad for somebody from FIFA, though.
Maybe he wasn't involved with all the corruption, but the FIFA's head, FIFA's communications and public affairs director, Walter De Gregorio, I can't talk, I'm sorry, stepped down last week, days after making a joke on Swiss TV. Basically, he said something, what did he say exactly? He said, the FIFA president, Sepp Blatter, the director of communications, and the general secretary are all sitting in a car. Who is driving? The police. And then just
well, at least it wasn't a they all walk into a bar joke, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at least it was better than that, I guess.
I don't even get
that. Yeah, Lindsay's really laughing over that. But yeah, basically he's resigned, but mm-hmm. people are speculating that, you know, he might have been fired because of this joke, because his resignation only came a few days after that. But I feel bad for him just because he's been putting his foot in his mouth quite a bit over the past month. Last month, he said at an emergency press conference that FIFA, he described the FBI letter arrests of FIFA senior executives as a good day for the organization.
Yeah, that was kind of bizarre.
And then when he was asked for his boss's mood, he said Blatter was not dancing in his office about the arrest, so he kind of used interesting wording. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his attempt to downplay the arrests at the presser were met with interesting comments by crisis communicators on Twitter, who they also said that his tone of voice and his stance were arrogant. So he hasn't really had the best time.
No, he has not had a great month.
No.
And it seemed to get worse last week.
I guess he won't be going into comedy for his
I guess he won't be going into comedy. That's true. Okay. That's an interesting story as the saga of FIFA continues. So it'll be interesting to see who the next president brings on when they actually elect the new president, if that ever happens. We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about political campaigns. Guys, do you have any feet? Were you knocked off your feet by any of the early announcements for people running for president, whether it be, dare I say, Donald Trump or Jeb Bush or Hillary Clinton or whoever? Or are you guys just kind of at this point?
I think I was just knocked off my feet by the fact that Trump is actually running.
Kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Only in America.
Oh my god. Didn't he try to run last year? Or last year, last time? Or is that just in Manhattan?
Well, he threatened to run.
Threatened.
For
Jeb's logo just made me laugh.
Yeah.
Well, you love exclamation points, so I was wondering if that would win you over, and the fact that he used a...
Considering we're pretty different political parties, probably won't.
Do you think that considering the way that millennials have redefined language with their extreme use of exclamation inflection points? Do you think it was maybe an attempt to appeal to a younger generation
of people?
No, but
I think his use of Snapchat, having a Snapchat video, clearly was a use of that. Mm. Although, actually, I don't know. I can't really speak to Snapchat. I don't use Snapchat, but I know people who are really young, like who are like in middle school, who love it. So he'd be going a little too low for that. But mm-hmm. I guess there are people who are older in voting age that use Snapchat.
I've downloaded Snapchat and I've never used it.
I downloaded it and deleted it in one day.
I think that he does deserve credit for, number one, going on The Tonight Show last night, which shows that he might be a little bit savvier than some other people running for president from his party in terms of how he's using communications nowadays, and also for speaking Spanish quite a bit in his announcement. He deserves credit for that, too. Okay, any thoughts from you guys about the Clinton campaign kickoff, which took place last Saturday here in New York? No? Well, actually, it's funny that you mentioned that because a lot of the reaction to the speech was that it lacked energy. So, maybe it is fitting neither of you guys have any uproarious thoughts on the campaign launch from there. But, of course, that launched last Saturday. So, of course, it got a lot of very partisan reviews in the media. A lot of people on the Democratic side thought it was great. A lot of people on the other side did not think it was great. And I think that goes to show a little bit that she's still a polarizing figure after all these years. So that's one thing to keep an eye on going forward. Okay, that's about all we have time for on this week's podcast. My name is Frank Washcook. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week on the PR Week.